Hey, it's so great to be with you guys this morning. So good to see you. And it's fun for me because as we were worshiping, I was looking at our Facebook Live. When I was a little boy, there was a television show. I don't know if it was local to where I grew up or if it was syndicated, but it was called Romper Room. And in Romper Room, the lady would look through her magnifying glass and start saying, "I see Joe and I see Susie and I see Nicholas." And I feel like as I'm looking at the Facebook Live feed, I see so many friends from back early days where I grew up, college, Augusta, Atlanta, and so many who've come through South Point and then moved on. So it's so good to see all of you. It's like a big family reunion right online. I look forward to the day that we can all get together and come and be here together worshiping our great triune God. As Monty said, today is a very important day for the life of our church. This is not going to be a normal sermon. It's going to be a sermon that sets up an opportunity that God has laid in front of us as a church, and that myself and our leadership team believes that God is calling us towards. So without further ado, we're going to look at a few passages this morning and a few quotes to kind of tee us up that I think have been very, very seminal in the way I think about and understand life. Follow along with me as I read. Beginning with Hebrews chapter 11, I'll be reading verse 1 and 6. It says this: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Proverbs 29. "When people can't see what God is up to, they stumble all over themselves." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Matthew 16, the words of Jesus: "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And now a few quotes that have been really meaningful to me. By Mark Batterson: "One litmus test of spiritual maturity is whether your dreams are getting bigger or smaller." Anais Nin says, "Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage." Francis Chan says, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." And J. Oswald Sanders says that vision leads to venture, and history is on the side of the venturesome faith. As I read those passages from the Word of God, and as I read those quotes from leaders in the church that have meant so much to me, what stirs in your heart? What desires does God bring to the surface and say, "Dream bigger, think wider, look at me and follow"? You see, those passages or those quotes are very important to me personally because they've engaged my heart, they've shaped my story, they've influenced my vocation, my family, they've largely determined where I've lived and how I've lived. They've defined how I lead. South Point Community Church, the seeds of this church actually began about 13 years ago in a conversation with a few people, a few men and a few women, the Huffmans and the Underwoods, the Livingstons, the Douthits, the Mickelsons, the Davises, the Dernberger, and a few others. And they were sitting around asking some really dangerous questions. Dangerous questions like, "What if? Could God? What if? Could God? B, Be careful with those questions. Because if you love your comfort zone, if you're okay with God just remaining a distant theory out there, if you're okay with believing that God is not a living, personal, imminent being, but rather God, you just think God is a personification of solid family values and respectable morality, I'm going to tell you right now, those questions, what if, and could God, are very dangerous words because they're words that invite God into your story. And anytime God shows up in our stories, he is both disruptive and profoundly redemptive. He always disrupts our lives by inviting us out of our comfort zones and into the vast, expansive world of his kingdom. And as we follow him, two things happen. Life gets bigger and scarier, and yet more hopeful and wonderful than we could ever dare to imagine. And so it was in the wake of those few families asking, what if, and could God, that these families who were members of West End Community Church in West Nashville began to long for a place in this area where their friends and their neighbors could find hope and health and spiritual healing. A place that could integrate into the community and then influence the community with the gospel. A place where there could be this intersection of stories. Your story, my story, our story together could be woven into the kaleidoscope of redemption and recovery that is the kingdom of God. And it wasn't long after that first conversation took place in an ice cream shop. Actually, it was about 10 years ago this week that I accepted the call to become the planting pastor. And I began the challenging process of leaving a place we loved, Perimeter Church, and moving to a little tiny town in Middle Tennessee that had about as many people living in it as Perimeter had at the late service. And then I started raising money and following God's call into the unknown. And one of my mentors from afar, Jack Miller, used to always say, you risk or you rust. Life is never static. And we jumped into this wild, raging river of God's kingdom, and wow, what a ride this has been. The last 10 years of my life have been some of the hardest and some of the best. And these years have given us a privilege of having a front row view of so many stories of God's faithfulness, stories that remind us that he's laid our hand upon us, his hand upon us. I mean, I'm going to talk about even the building we're in right now and the miracle that this was. You have to think about, there were a group of people who had almost no money in the bank who came to a building owner and proposed that the building owner drop $100,000 into the build out of this building with the thought that this little church that didn't exist anymore, actually it was nothing more than a Bible study with a good band because we're Nashville. And the guy said, come on, Jason Brassfield. He took a chance on us. And it was a miracle of God. The chairs we have out here were given to us, loaned to us, but we haven't given them back yet, by West End Community Church. And the ones that when we needed more, we got a check in the mail for $5,000 I didn't expect to buy the rest of the chairs. We've seen the faithfulness of God as we've expanded this building three times. We have been through all sorts of financial straits. I remember one time, guys, I was in line at a Starbucks in Atlanta. And I struck up a conversation with a man in front of me. We ended up having a great conversation about the gospel. He told me he wasn't a Christian, but his dad was a pastor, and he really respected what I was doing because he was an entrepreneur. And we exchanged in contact info. He said, call me sometime. I said, okay. Of course, I never did. But I remember about a year into the life of our church, we were at the bottom financially. And I got a $10,000 check in the mail from this guy I met at Starbucks, and that helped us make payroll that week. Story after story of God coming for us as we've lived in faith. Now, so much more significantly are things like that are a thousand stories of people I know about stories about people coming to faith in Christ. We've seen children grow up to love the Lord. We've seen marriages that were in tatters welded back together. We've seen people who had no hope get their hope restored. So this morning I want to talk about vision. I would define vision as seeing and shaping the future. We just read in Proverbs 29 that without vision, people stumble all over themselves. And one of my favorite quotes is from J. Oswald Sanders, "Vision leads to venture, and history is on the side of the venturesome faith." So where does this vision come from? I used to think that vision would come, you know, you're sitting in a room, your candle is there, you're on your knees, you got your big fat daddy KJV Bible opened up, and somewhere in the midst of this experience, a lightning bolt comes from heaven, and you have this epiphany, and you say, "That's what you want me to do, God?" Now, that might happen to some people, but it's rarely happened to me. I think vision is born in the soul of a person who becomes consumed with the tension between what is and what should be. We can get this off the screen for a second. Let's go to the next slide. I'm going to give you an example of Jesus getting vision. It was found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. And I want you to see how it was getting a vision of reality that gave Jesus a vision for a bigger story. It says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Vision comes from seeing reality and not being okay with what you see. It's literally, it's like redemptive cognitive dissonance. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I have the ability to do something about that. Jesus saw the crowds. What would Jesus see if he lived in our area? You see, in our area, I think he would see this. Most people are educated. In fact, Nashville was recently voted one of the most brainy cities in America. I think people here are highly educated, but they don't know what to do. I think you would see this. In our area, people are very safety conscious. Kids are watched, security systems installed, 401ks are contributed to. There's a plan for everything. You're like triple masking, bathing your children in a cocktail of Lysol and sanitizer. You're thinking about everything, and yet, in spite of the unprecedented amount of security we enjoy as a nation, I talk to people every day who struggle deeply with a sense not of security, but of insecurity. I think that's what he would see. In our area, people have 1,000 options of how to spend their time where they used to, right, before quarantine. But you have hobbies, you've got the internet. I mean, how hard is stay-at-home life, really? I mean, you've got a million channels. You can surf, you can buy stuff. Amazon brings it to you. Life is not that hard around here. But even though we have all this stuff to do, we feel like we lack any real purpose, and we wonder if our lives even matter. I think some other things he would see about our area. Very few people in our area are from here. There are lots and lots and lots of new people. You can be connected to the whole world through the internet, and yet most of us have this deep ache of loneliness down in our souls, and we feel like unattached tumbleweeds blowing through society, longing to be woven into an authentic community that we can't seem to find. I think you would see that behind the glittering appearances of beautiful homes and well-manicured yards and staged Instagram selfie shots of your best quarantine life. I think that there are lots and lots of exhausted people spending their energy trying to hold that facade up and wondering if there's any more to life than this. You know, vision comes from seeing that. And so that's where we are, and that's who we're called to minister to. Now, here's what I want to bring up to us as a church, South Point family. We have a calling. What is that calling? We, as God's people, are called to be an outpost of God's kingdom and to make a tangible difference in our world. That's why we're here. What's South Point's mission statement? It's this: we exist to bring the people of the South Point area and all places we serve into a life-changing encounter with the kingdom of God. If we're not doing that, I don't care what else we do, I don't care how much else good we do, I think we have failed to follow the call of God on us. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we're to reach the world. That means that we are to reach across the street and get to know our neighbor. It means that we are to reach across the tracks to those who are disadvantaged and different than us. And it means that we're to go around the world. It means that we're to have an eternal impact in order that our culture may change in such a way that it reflects more of the kingdom of God than the brokenness of this world. That's our calling. Very, very, very simply. And everything we do as a church has got to support that. Second thing, we have a challenge. What's our challenge? Well, as a church, the planting pastor showed up almost 10 years ago. July 1st is my 10-year anniversary here. We particularized 7 years ago this week. And we've got to make some long-term decisions on what it looks like to be a healthy, vibrant, multi-generational church. Two, from a church perspective, start adulting, okay? Now, right now, we are renting the facility we're in. And this facility has served us incredibly well. This facility has been a blessing beyond a blessing to us. The challenge, and I can tell you, it's a miracle we ever got it. God has been so good to us, and our landlord, Jay Brassfield, has been a partner in all of this. But the bottom line is our facility is very expensive. Right now, we are paying $25,000 per month in rent. That's to have the building. And I'll say this, this building gets used 7 days a week and then some. But we're paying $25,000 a month in rent. That's equivalent to around a $4 million mortgage. And we have been, as a church, because we're a young church, we've been in that sort of lower middle class trap where our rent is so high we've been unable to save for a down payment. However, over the last 2 years, due to the diligent efforts of Drew McMillan and the finance committee, as well as the incredible faithfulness of you as our congregation, we've gotten into a much better spot from a financial health perspective. And so when we look at this building, we appreciate it, but we also realize this. This building was never set up to be a church. It was set up to be an office space. And so because the space is limited, in fact, the property our current facility is on is only about 3.8 acres, it limits our future opportunities in terms of a church. And so we've recognized this, and about 4 years ago, we began to talk about where would we want to move as a church? And we put some location criteria around what we were looking at. We felt like if we moved north beyond Concord Road, we would pretty much become a different church, and we didn't want to do that. And then if you go to the south, we felt like if we went south past Osborne Road off of Nolensville Road, which is about 7 miles from our current location, that would be too far, and we would become a different church. our Western reach is pretty limited because you go right into Brentwood, you become a different church. And we didn't feel like we had a lot of opportunities going eastward. And so we wanted to stay on this Nolensville Road corridor. Now, our building is going up for sale. Thankfully, we're locked into a lease, but the price of our building is around $5 million, give or take. And so we would potentially get the building we're already in for $5 million, but we're still stuck on about less than 4 acres. And so thankfully, the land behind the church became available. And so I began to investigate that. Monty and I met with the owner of the land on the night of the Super Bowl, and the land directly behind our church is $650,000 per acre. Now, that's extremely expensive. In fact, once we began to look at what's available in Nolensville, you run quickly into the supply and demand. The demand is huge, the supply is small. On top of that, once we did research, we realized that for our church to be the minimum of what we think God's calling us to be, we need about 10 acres. So I got our real estate agent, one of our members, Tyler King. Tyler has been doing tireless research on this for us for well over a year, almost 2 years. And most of the comps around here that we're looking at, potentially, just north of us near Burkett Road, the land is going for between $150,000 and $380,000 an acre. That's just a mile and a half north of us. That's the comps. And then south of us, the land is going for between $110,000 all the way up to about $300,000 an acre. Now, if you're a South Point family member, you know that the area down at Nolensville Road and Concord, just south of the church, about 2 miles south of the church. That area, a large retail, what's that? I'm sorry, Rocky Fork, Clovercroft, and Nolensville Road. That area, a large retail grocery chain apparently has bought the land on the corner next to the volunteer fire station. And the land across from that is going to be going to townhomes. So basically, and then if you go a little further south, all of the open space near Summerlin has already been zoned, and much of it is under contract for retail. So basically, in about 5 years, the corner of Nolensville Road, Clovercroft, Rocky Fork Road, is going to look a lot like what is currently the corner of Concord at Nolensville Road. It's going to be very busy, very congested, and everything we see shows us that the growth is going southward very quickly. And so we've been looking around, and we thought, my gosh, this land we're looking at is so prohibitively expensive. I mean, the cheapest we could find was $110,000 to $130,000 an acre, and that land needed to be developed because of all the rock on it. And so Tyler King has been looking and looking, and we've been praying and praying, and Tyler located a piece of land that wasn't even for sale that's south of us on Nolensville Road. It was actually in trust, and so Tyler did a lot of research and decided just to approach the guy who had it for sale 6 or 7 years ago. And the guy said, Tyler said, would you be interested in talking maybe to a church about getting this land? And the guy said, sure. And let me tell you about this meeting we had. We met with him. It was myself, Monty Starks, Tyler King, Drew McMillan, who's the head of our finance committee. We met with this fella, name's Daniel. And we began to share our vision for what church is, about making disciples, about giving back to the community, about being integrated and offering a place that is a value adder to our culture. And this guy got so excited about it. And the piece of land we were looking at was a pretty big piece of land. And it was a pretty prime piece of land. And so he said he'd been walking around this land that he's owned for years and years and years. He hunted on it. And with his life coach, he's been praying that God would do something eternal on this piece of land. And so as we began to talk, we got more and more excited. The vision was so similar. And I finally had to stop and say, listen, I need to ask you a question. How much do you want for this land? Because it's not for sale. And I'm assuming if it's very much, we're going to have to stop this conversation right now. And he looked at Tyler, our real estate agent, and he goes, what did I have it listed for 6 or 7 years ago? Get this. Tyler said 13,300 an acre. He said, well, I'll take that for it. Now, it's a 112-acre piece of land. So that's $1.48 million. But I want you to think about it. Just north of there, 2 miles north, at the intersection of Clovercroft, Rocky Fork, and Nolensville Road, the land is going for about $200,000 an acre. This land is located 2.4 miles south of that intersection on Nolensville Road, $13,000 an acre. So it really gets into this idea of an unprecedented opportunity. I still can't believe that Mr. Burton is interested in doing this, selling this land to us for this price. So we begin to look at what are the problems with the land. There must be an issue somewhere. There must be a problem somewhere. And we looked and we looked and we looked, and you know what we found? There was no problem. Everybody I took out there said, we don't understand this. It makes no sense. It's too good to be true. And I said, well, it's too good to be true if you don't believe in God things. So where is this land? Let me show you a picture of it. It's right up here on the screen. I've got a couple of things. So right here is our current location. That is currently where we are. And so if you go through Nolensville, this is the corner of Rock Springs and Clovercroft. I'm sorry, yes, right there. So, wait, yeah, that's Rock Springs. So if you travel just a little further down from the corner of Rock Springs, Clovercroft, and Nolensville Road, 2.4 miles to the south, on the western side of the road, so if you're going south, that's on the right side of the road, here is the piece of land. Now, I had my good friend Jim Cook go out there and make a drone video for us, and I want you to watch this video.
When 2020 began, I felt very strongly that God had laid on my heart that the theme verse for our church this year would be 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, may abound in every good work. I had no idea that God would open a door for our church to establish itself in such a profound and permanent way as we do by the opportunity to buy this land. For the last 10 years, God has been good to provide us our facility on Haley Industrial. We rent this facility, and it's fairly expensive, and it's served us very well. And yet, I'm reminded of the words in Deuteronomy where God came to the children in the Promised Land who'd been wandering for 40 years and said, you've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to go forward, to go northward, to go into the Promised Land. When we planted South Point Community Church, it's always been my desire to see there be 10 generations of gospel faithfulness through this church for our community and for the world. With this land, we have the opportunity to set roots down. We have the opportunity to lay a foundation so that 10 generations beyond us could take this vision we have of making Jesus the unavoidable issue, of being a perfect place for imperfect people, of making the invisible kingdom of God visible wherever we live, work, and play. Our children and their children and their children after them would have a spot to take this vision and take it to the next level. I hope you'll join me in praying that God would continue to open doors through this piece of property. We have to raise a significant amount of money against a backdrop of a global pandemic and an economic meltdown, the likes of which the world has not seen. However, God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to us. So I hope you'll begin to think and you'll begin to pray about how you can partner with us to give our children a place to grow up, a place that we could hand them debt-free so that their generation can take our vision to the next level. I'm often reminded of the great J. Oswald Sanders, who said that vision leads to venture, and history is on the side of the venturesome faith. Will you join me as we step out into the unknown so that we can experience the faithfulness and the goodness of God in our generation for the next generation?
Is that a wow moment or what? It's just astounding to me that this year, back in December, when God, I felt like, impressed upon me that our theme verse this year was 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, may abound in every good work. We had no idea this was here. This literally fell in our lap. And so it's 112 acres. Now you may say, that is a lot of land. And you're right, it's a lot of land. It's, however, let me tell you a little bit about the layout of the land. It contains 825 feet of road frontage on Nolensville Road. The first 40 acres of the land are flat and beautiful and buildable. In fact, the front 25 acres, likely where the church building would sit, there's room for a soccer field, for an athletic, places for athletic fields, and the is flat, and the dirt there is 5 to 8 feet deep, and it's incredibly buildable. And so if you saw the picture, the land is sort of shaped like an L that's pointing in the wrong direction, with the top of the L starting at Nolensville Road, and then the bottom of the L going back towards Nolensville, pointing south, or north rather. And so the back part of the land contains a very, very, very steep, incredibly beautiful ridge that, from what I understand, is the second highest point in Williamson County. And so here's our thought for this. There are so many opportunities we have out there. So we can have a church, but there's so many other things we can do. We can open up this up to the community to have nature trails, to have camping, to put a ropes course, to have all sorts of incredible venues. This is some of the most beautiful property you've ever seen in your life. And, you know, I want to talk about everywhere I've ever seen prime real estate, as my friend Mike Luchek says, always equates to prime prices. That's just not the case here. In fact, this seller has been less like a business seller and more like a ministry partner. And so when I think about a generational legacy, let me tell you why that's so important to me. I recognize our place in history. I'm a history buff. And I want you to know that the church that probably shaped me more than any other church was First Presbyterian Church in Augusta, Georgia. I was on staff there in my late 20s and early 30s. And when I was there, that church was 200 years old. In fact, the first generation, there were only 70 in the beginning of the congregation back in 1801 in Augusta, Georgia. They felt like God called them to build a sanctuary that would seat 700 because they anticipated that many people coming to Augusta and God getting that much glory. And when I was there, it would be filled to overflowing for two services. It was something else. And I remember beginning to have that prayer, Lord, 200 years, that's 10 generations. What would it be like if South Point, we start in this generation, but from here there are at least 10 generations of faithfulness that come out of here. That's always been our deep desire. That's what we prayed for as a church. And so this is an opportunity to put the kind of roots down that when we are dead and gone and forgotten by anybody on this earth, in heaven, we're seeing wave after wave of people walking into heaven who've been impacted by this church. I just think how profound and powerful that could be. And I think about the community blessing part. we want to bless our community. And how great would it be to have enough land where we could have athletic fields that kids could come play soccer on? So all the soccer fields down in Osborne Road, y'all have seen how choked up they are. What if we had some? They could come to be part of that. What if we had places that families in Nolensville and the surrounding areas could put down their screens and get out in creation and spend a weekend camping in quietness? What if we had nature trails to walk and enjoy creation and be reconnected with God? There's so many opportunities for us. Now, this is where I need to talk to you very honestly. I've always heard it said that where the stakes are high, the cost is great. Where the stakes are high, the cost is great. Right now, we've shut down our entire economy. Why? The stakes are high, and the cost is great. Here's what I think is at stake here. I think the stakes are inestimably higher even than with COVID, because people's eternities are at stake when it comes to a church. And as a church, because we are called to invite people into eternal forgiveness and avoid eternal judgment, we've got to be all in with this. And if you've made or sensed that God is calling you to make South Point Community Church your church home, the leadership of our church, the elders and the deacons and the staff, we need you to be all in, because the stakes are high. And God is inviting us to follow him. And as we do, it's going to require a couple of things: courage and self-sacrifice. But as we do that, life is going to get infinitely bigger as we fulfill the purpose God has for us. So what do we need? Bottom line, what do we need? Well, there's a contract on this land. Now, we need $1.48 million in the next 70 days. And I think there's a best case, a medium case, and a worst case scenario, okay? Here's the best case scenario. In the next 70 days, we get every penny of this in. And if we do that and can pay for this land outright, this fall we can immediately go into a capital campaign to begin raising money for a facility. And think about this. We're already paying $25,000 a month in rent. That's the equivalent of a $4 million mortgage right there. And I want you to imagine, as we have a capital campaign, what we could do hitting the fall, and within a couple of years, maybe even less, we could be out there in a new building. What's the medium case? Well, I think the medium case would be we raise the lion's share of this money in the next 70 days, and the capital campaign we have in the fall pays for a little bit of the land, and we can put the rest towards a new building fund. Now, what's the worst case? Well, the worst case scenario is we need, let me say this, as of today, and you guys know, given the global craziness we're living in, the banks are moving targets, okay? So as of today, the worst case would be we could raise $550,000. That's the minimum needed today for a down payment, and we'd need that in the next 70 days, assuming nothing changes. And we could buy the land, or put a contract on the land. We could purchase the land, put that money down, and our capital campaign in the fall would go to paying off the rest of the land and then thinking about a new building. Now, you may say this, Matt, by golly, your sense of timing is kind of terrible, right? Global pandemic, economic meltdown. And believe me, if you're saying that to me, you have any idea how many times I've said that to God? Like, God, are you serious? You dropped this land in our laps. We signed a contract, and COVID, our good old buddy COVID shows up, right? I did not invite you to this party, COVID. And then the Dow decides, again, it wants to drop acid and go on some kind of crazy trip. But then I started thinking about the story of Gideon in the Bible. Gideon's found in Judges 6, 7, and 8. And there, Gideon is part of the tribe of Manasseh. It's just a tribe of a bunch of wusses. And of all the wusses, Gideon is the biggest wuss. And so God goes to the biggest wuss in Israel and says, by the way, the Midianites are attacking you. Tens of thousands of Midianites are coming to Israel, and you're going to be the guy that's going to fight. And Gideon's like, Nope, don't believe you. Said this to the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. And so he is no paragon of faith. He says, well, if you're really God, make fire shoot out of the rock. Angel said, fire shot out of the rock. Not enough. Then he said, God, here is a dry fleece. I'm going to put it outside in the morning. I want it to be soaking wet in the desert. Came out the next day. Fleece was soaking wet. Still said, not enough. Again, no paragon of faith here. And then he goes, well, it's not hard to make a dry thing wet, but let's make a wet thing dry. So he put it back out. And then God did that. He finally believed maybe this is God. So he gets an army together, 20,000 plus men, goes out. God says, drop this many, drop that many, drop that many. Finally, he whittles Gideon down to 300 men. And with these 300 men, he goes up against 30,000. And because God's with them, they win the day. And God got all the glory. And so when I see God calling us to do this in the middle of economic uncertainty, there's no question this is what God's calling us to. I know that however this happens, God's going to get all the glory. There's no other way. Now, here's what I need from you. What do you need to do? The first thing you need to do is to pray. I think collectively, we let this opportunity put us on our knees and we begin to ask God to work in earnest. Martin Luther said, you pray like it's all up to God and you work like it's all up to you. That's a good word for us. Second thing, you need to give. Now, let me say this. From a human perspective, when we hear giving, you think that somebody is asking something from you. What do you want? I got to lose something to give you something. But from a kingdom perspective, giving is all about God wanting something for you. So he asks you to give because he wants to give you something that's far greater than what you could give. And here's what else I know as your pastor. There is plenty of money in this congregation to buy this land outright. You know why I know that? Because if there wasn't, God would not be calling us to this. But he is. And so the issue is not how much money we have. There's plenty there. The issue is, are we willing to let go of this money and lay it towards the kingdom of God and let God do his thing? And I think that's the question that Christy and I have had to ask. That's what we've all got to ask. But in the next 60 days, we need to raise a minimum of $550,000, and we would love to get the entire thing in. So what do you need to do? Number one, give. If you go to our website and you give, as Monty said a little while ago, below the general fund, if you just click general fund, you'll see a building fund. You can put money right there. Now, we're asking you not to, don't give money you would normally give to the church to do the building fund instead. This needs to be above and beyond whatever you normally give. Second thing, Monty has put together a list of 16 questions that you may have or objections you may have to this. You're going to be getting that in the mail email tomorrow. So be on the lookout for this, and hopefully any questions you have will be answered with his very thorough email. Third thing, we're going to have a virtual town hall meeting the Sunday after Easter. Okay, so next Sunday's Easter, we're leaving that day holy and sacred. We're not touching it, not talking about it. The Sunday after Easter on the 19th, after the service, we're going to have an opportunity for you to go ahead and be emailing us questions. You can video a question and send it to us if you don't like long emails like me. And then we're going to be answering those questions via live stream on the 19th. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is what Proverbs 3 says. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I think God is calling us to something magnificent, something multi-generational, something through which he's going to get more glory and set us up for greater faithfulness. The great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, said, attempt something so great for God that if God is not in it, it's doomed to failure. I think this is such a thing, but I think God's in it. Let's pray. Father, you're calling us to live by faith. You're giving us opportunities not to gain land as much as to know you better.